You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Mathematics of Not Falling Down. Or, Keep the C of G Inside the B. Falling down is obviously almost never a good thing, but it's an especially bad trait for a martial artist. Beginning students in the martial arts frequently have trouble finding and keeping their balance when practicing basic techniques. While balance may at first seem like an elusive and difficult thing to achieve, it's actually based on some very simple principles. There's more than one kind of balance. The first kind is static balance, or keeping your balance while not moving. I also call it the geometry of not falling down. Let's define a couple of words. The first one is base. Whether you are lying, sitting, or standing, you rest on a base. Let's say that you're standing with your feet parallel, about shoulder width apart. Let's take some chalk or a magic marker and draw a line on the floor that goes from the tip of one big toe to the tip of the other big toe. Now draw a similar line from the back of one heel to the back of the other. Connect these two lines by tracing the outside edges of each of your feet. Now, step out of your drawing and take a look. While you were standing there, that quasi-rectangular area was your base. Another word to define is your center. Specifically, your center of mass. Or, if you, like me, are currently in planet Earth's gravity well, your center of gravity. Your center of gravity is located inside you, roughly halfway between your spine and belly button. In Asian traditions, based on the belief in the imaginary magical force called qi or ki, your center, called the tan tien or tan den, is of great importance. Your qi is believed to emanate from your center, and students are frequently admonished to move from their center. Moving from your center is indeed good advice, but not because of any imaginary magical energy. It's just common sense physics. This is yet another example of humans developing a magical explanation for a phenomenon they don't yet understand. Let's do a thought experiment. Go back and stand on the chalk outline of your base. Now imagine that you have a glowing holographic string that can pass through matter. It has a glowing holographic weight hanging on the end. Now attach the other end of this imaginary string from your center of gravity and wait for any swinging of the weight to stop. If you could see your image in a mirror, you would see the glowing weighted string hanging from your crotch. You're welcome for that visual. For those of you with a sophomoric sense of humor, feel free to insert a joke here. I'll wait. Done? Okay, if the string hangs over any point inside the diagram of your base, congratulations! You will not fall down. If the string were to move even a millimeter outside the diagram, you would begin to fall. That's the essence of the geometry of not falling down. Keep the center of gravity inside the base, or keep the C of G inside the B. Now we move on to the calculus of not falling down. That's the phrase I use to describe dynamic balance, or keeping your balance while moving. Don't let the word calculus intimidate you. In this context, calculus is the mathematics of determining rates of change. Change is the operative word when you're attempting to balance while moving. When you're moving, balance is a bit more complicated than when you're standing still. All movement in a gravity well is essentially a controlled fall. When moving from a standstill to walking, you probably think you begin by taking a step. In reality, you begin by falling forward. This is not alarming to you because we've each been walking for a long time. We are confident that the next part of walking will keep us from falling. The next part happens when you step to catch yourself. Repeat this as necessary and you're walking. You're probably not aware of this controlled fall, but it is necessary for all human locomotion. This dynamic balance presents us with a new dilemma. Your center of gravity is now moving, and your base must move to keep up. That's where the calculus comes in. You don't need to use pencil and paper, you do it in your head all the time. You are calculating the rate of change of the placement of your base. As adults, we are all so used to doing this that we don't think of it as an effort or a calculation. But watch a baby who's learning how to walk. It will be easy to see the controlled and sometimes uncontrolled fall, the concentration, the careful calculation. So, dynamic balance has a new, cute little mantra. Place the B where the C of G will be, or place the base where the center of gravity will be. The calculus of dynamic balance is fairly straightforward, no pun intended, when you're moving in a straight line at a constant speed. But the next and more difficult level of dynamic balance is when you want to make a change in velocity, especially a sudden change. That's fancy physics talk for either speeding up, slowing down, or turning. Once you decide to do one of these things, you will discover a new force competing for your attention with gravity. That force is momentum. If you're moving in one direction, especially at significant speed, and try to turn right or left or stop without taking momentum into account, you will fall down. In order to dampen your momentum, you need to lengthen your step or steps while simultaneously slightly leaning your upper body a bit back until on your last step you will smoothly, you hope, convert dynamic balance into static balance as your center comes to rest above your base. We're usually not aware that we're doing this, but we do it nonetheless. If we wish to turn gradually, we simply lean slightly in the direction we wish to go. But if we wish to turn suddenly, especially at high speed, we need to sharply plant one foot in the opposite direction as a driver while leaning in the other direction equally sharply to successfully make the turn without falling. Frequently in martial arts applications, we will use two maneuvers like this in a row in order to do something like faking right before going left. So that would involve, for example, punching your right foot hard to the right while leaning to the left before immediately punching your left foot to the left and then leaning hard to the right. A sudden acceleration from a standstill uses a driver leg in a similar way, dropping your center of gravity suddenly while punching the ground behind you with one foot as a takeoff mechanism. So that's a quick look at how external forces can affect your balance and some concepts to deal with them. Now let's look at the physiology of your sense of balance. Many people believe that your sense of balance is managed through your inner ear, called your vestibular system. While this is partly true, it is by no means the complete picture. I frequently poke fun at the quirkiness of our human brains. I would be remiss if I did not, at times, lay on an equal amount of praise for its amazing capabilities. This is one of those times. Our sense of balance is called equilibrioception. How's that for a cool bit of scientific jargon? Equilibrioception is the process of your brain comparing inputs from three different sensory systems before coordinating outputs for your nerves and muscles in order to optimally deal with challenges to your balance. This complex set of equations is what I call the algebra of not falling down. The three sensory systems upon which your brain relies for information are your inner ear or vestibular system, as I described before, your vision, which is also extremely important for balance, and a little-known sense called proprioception. Contrary to what you may have learned in grade school, you have more than five senses. Your body has an array of sensors located in your muscles, tendons, and joints called proprioceptors. These little sensors are constantly comparing the position of each proprioceptor to each other proprioceptor and reporting that position back to the brain. Your brain then uses this information to get a grasp on the position of your body in relation to your environment, and your body parts as they relate to each other, all on the move in real time in order to help you keep your balance. This reminds me of the motion capture suit used in the production of computer-generated images for special effects in films. A typical motion capture suit is a black, form-fitting garment with little, highly visible white balls attached at various points on your body to help the computer create a stick figure of your body as you move, and then morph that moving stick figure into whatever strange alien creature the movie wishes to depict. Well, your brain and proprioceptors do something very much like this, except that the movie is playing in your subconscious, allowing your brain to get a good picture of what's going on. Did you ever wonder how you keep a target in focus when your body is rotating on one or more of three axes while moving in the blender of martial arts combat? This amazing feat is the result of the vestibulo-ocular reflex. That's fancy science talk for your brain coordinating information from your inner ear and your eyes simultaneously. Your brain and body also have an inhibitory system that helps keep you from injuring yourself. We have all felt the result of this inhibitory mechanism when we grew timid at the thought of executing a technique that we felt might cause us to fall down. Developing confidence in your balance through instruction and mindful repetition is the biggest contributing factor to early improvement in power striking. If you're a normal human being who can stand, walk, and run, you already possess formidable striking power. It's simply the case that your inhibitions won't allow you to fully express it until your experienced sense of balance gives you full confidence. This confidence is the necessary missing part of the equation for power striking, or in other words, in the algebra of not falling down. A particular relevant example of this occurs when learning how to kick. As I've stated earlier, kicking in the martial arts is a particularly unnatural skill set to develop. Balance is difficult enough on 2 feet, much less on 1 foot while whirling and spinning like a dervish. One of the difficulties is learning to lead with your hips rather than with your head. Athletes, especially those who don't learn to play soccer or do martial arts kicking, tend to lead with their upper body and head when expressing power. Think of a major league pitcher. After his windup, he explodes off of his rear foot, driving his upper body and head forward before delivering the final motion of a pitch. Similar leading with the head behavior is common when swinging a bat, a club, or throwing a punch. If you were to look at a stick figure drawing of an athlete executing one of these upper body dominant skills, you would notice at the moment of peak effort that the athlete's head and shoulders are closer to the target than are his hips. If you were to look at a similar stick figure drawing of a high-level martial artist executing a power kick, you would notice the opposite. His hips are closer to the target than is his head. This is one of the major problems that I encounter when teaching a student how to kick. The natural reflex for many athletes is to begin to express power by driving with the head. This kills good kicking form. One of the most common things I see when a student is failing to get this is a sudden reaching out with the hands to catch themselves after the kick has contacted the heavy bag, the tie pads, or the opponent. If he or she had led with their hips, this would not have been necessary. When the student finally gets this, I quickly notice an improvement in confidence and a quantum leap in kicking power. The student has not suddenly grown much stronger, but simply now has the confidence to unleash the power they always had without fear of falling down. To paraphrase Blind Master Po from the TV series Kung Fu, a young student asks his venerable martial arts teacher, "Old man, how is it that you have such good balance?" The instructor answers, "Young man, how is it that you do not?" Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. We'll be right back. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.